today I am feeling very happy, very excited. And the reason is because my podcast awesome listenership is growing. Just, I have you to thank. Yes, you that is podcast. For the reviews, for the recommendations on Twitter, for the reviews on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, for the comment, for the shares, for the posting on WhatsApp, and thank you. You are part of this success, this growth. It's growth. You're part of it, and I just want to very thank you. Without, I have no results. I mean, listen to me blab, listen to I and my guest try to make sense topics that are finally, it means you respect, you love what, thank you, coming back, get more, and I promise you, June is Men's Health Month, and in tandem with the theme of my podcast, doing a series, men-related health, having doctors come and share the knowledge with us, and I'm also having some men who have suffered very critical health conditions. The other experience just to create awareness, men's health. I also want to say, put this caveat out there that I'm not a doctor. I have medical education background. I am not using this to tell people to self-medicate, self-diagnose, any of that. No, it's creating awareness and trying to educate, to inform, and at the same time, entertain people is what we do over here. So today I have Dr. Shola. You guys remember Dr. Shola was the one that was our last two episodes that was published. And Shola is back here today to talk to prostate cancer, which is a very, very deadly thing that happens to men, especially in their late 30s, mid 40s, late 40s. In fact, when you get to that age range, advice that you go for medical checkups at least once a year for hypertension, prostate cancer, diabetes. In fact, I recently just learned that men are also prone to breasts as real as grab a pen and paper, grab a cup of smoothie, whiskey, whatever it is, whatever your brand drink is, soda, go ahead, grab a Coke, whatever it is you want to sit down, relax, and enjoy this episode of the podcast with me.
Hey,
Dr. Shola, you're back again.
Yeah, hi, good evening. How are you? I'm doing pretty well. How are you? How are you doing?
I'm fine. I'm okay. I mean, the last episode, last time you were here, did well. My listeners had the best compliments for you.
Oh, that's really good to know.
And I got like a lot.
Sorry?
Men, and I think my men said it reminded them of their friends.
Yeah.
All of that. And then I got some people that really shared the post.
On
social media platforms for other people to learn and stuff. It was really, 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 really educational.
Yeah, that's so nice. I'm really glad that people could actually relate to it and in other ways prevent it with the knowledge that they gained. It was a fun thing for me to do, I guess.
Okay, so today we want to talk about prostate cancer. You know, the month of June is Men's Health Month.
Yes, and funny and thing, I learned that from you actually. I didn't know that.
Oh, you're welcome. So we're teaching each other. Wonderful. So I'm doing a series of men-related health issues, and I want to start with prostate cancer. And you were the perfect guest because my audience, my listeners, would totally love you. So I'm bringing you back.
Yes.
That's for them. So prostate cancer, for people like me that are medically challenged, tell us what prostate cancer is.
Oh, okay. So prostate cancer, simply put, cancer of the prostate. All right. But first, I won't blame anybody that doesn't know.
Sorry, let me cut you. What is prostate?
Yeah. So,
because it's not everybody.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I won't blame anybody that doesn't know the prostate, especially ladies. Why? Is because they don't have it. Ladies don't have prostate.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's men, and that's why prostate cancer only affects men. Now, the prostate is a walnut shaped organ. What I mean by walnut, it has this the walnut, the fruit or the nut, and then it has this this love like shape, like this heart like shape, like that emoji love like shape.
Okay.
It sits just directly below the urinary bladder. That's your bladder that stores urine. Okay. And we just in front of the rectum. The rectum is part of the large intestine that leads down to the anus. All right. So
okay,
I'll keep that in mind somewhere because I'll refer back to it sometime. Now the prostate sits just underneath the bladder. Now, so that I'll need to describe the position so that you also understand how some of the symptoms start up. Now, the bladder, let's take the bladder and the urethra like a funnel shape. Now, the bladder is the funnel where maybe you pour stuff. Then you see the lower parts where it's like a tube-like structure of the funnel. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's the urethra. Yeah. Now, the urethra is it transfers urine from that is stored from the bladder straight down to the outside. So the urethra goes down from the bladder to the urethral orifice in the vagina or in the penis. So it transfers urine from the outside. It's like a tube-like structure that connects the bladder and the outside. Now, the prostate sits on that connection, that part where the urethra enters the bladder. Do you get? Mm-hmm. That's where the prostate sits in. So because of that position, it is actually very delicate. And some of the symptoms that happens in prostate cancer are majorly, one of the first symptoms that happens in prostate cancer are urinary symptoms. We'll get to that. But the main function of the prostate is to produce seminal fluid. Seminal fluid is part of the constituents of the semen. Now, this seminal fluid helps to transport and like protect the sperm cells. So, from the prostate goes through the seminal tubules and then to the testes that actually produce the sperm cells. So, I think what I'll say that you understand is the fluid that the prostate produces is what makes the semen to be able to move freely, right? And it's what gives that fluidity to be able to move. So without the prostate, the sperm cells won't be able to move. So it's very important, very, very important. If you take out the prostate, it means the man is infertile. That's just what it means. It's infertile.
Is that what they do when a man undergoes is vasectomy?
The vasectomy means that you are closing down the tubes. Now, the passages of those semen or those fluid and the sperm and everything, those tubes that the sperm moves through, what they just do is that they block it so the sperm doesn't move. So once the sperm doesn't move, nothing happens. The man is infertile. So that's what vasectomy vasectomy entails. But the prostate is actually very important in sense that it actually produces that fluid, the seminal fluid, in which the sperm can move and can be protected. That's the sperm cells can move and be protected. So that's the importance, and that's the use, and that's where it's located. But it's only found in men.
So what causes prostate cancer?
Like generally said, the cause of cancer is usually unknown. Pretty much everybody's this cancer, nothing causes cancer. So nobody can actually pinpoint what actually causes cancer generally. But like every other type of cancer, like prostate cancer, before I move to the causes, it's like one of the most commonest. What am I saying? After skin cancer, after skin cancer in men, prostate cancer is the most commonest cancer that affects men. In fact, I'll say prostate cancer is the breast cancer of men. Do you get? Yes, in matter of the occurrence, prostate cancer is like the breast cancer of men. Most men are stuck between prostate cancer, skin cancer, and lung cancer most times. So, like every other cancers, it usually begins when some cells in your prostate, become abnormal. They start mutating. All right. So, the mutation in the abdominal cells causes it to like rapidly divide and rapidly multiply. So, it's rapidly multiplying. All right. Means that it's beginning to deny the normal cells of blood supply, and once it denies the normal cells of blood supply, it denies them of nutrients, and then the normal cells begin to die. And once the normal cells begin to die, it means that it's giving rise to the spread, the multiplication of more abnormal cells. So that is how it usually happens. Now, despite the fact there are no real causes to prostate cancer, there are some things that are like risk factors, all right? Like first, advanced age. Yes. Any man from the chances of you getting prostate cancer is increases as you increase in age. From 50 years, prone to prostate cancer. Now, we usually advise every man from 45 years to have a test done once a year or once in 2 years, to have an examination and a test done once a year, 2 years. Now, the most, sorry, I'm diverting a bit, but the most effective examination of the prostate is actually through your anus. Remember when I told you I was going to get back to this, when I was describing where the prostate was sitting?
I said it stayed
in front of the rectum. Now, if you want to get to the rectum, you have to go through the anus. That's the only way we can access the prostate. Now, so it's a very, very uncomfortable. I know some people must have heard it that they are going for a prostate exam or maybe a regular exam, a random body check, and then the doctor requires to do a rectal exam for them, a digital rectal exam. It is very uncomfortable. Most people deny it, defy it, and then see it as useless. This kind, there's no need. Do you get? But there's absolutely every need. The only way we can assess this is through that. So the doctor would need to put his finger, lubricate it, obviously, put his finger up the man's anus to be able to assess the prostate. Now, assessing the prostate, we check the surface, check how rough it is, if it's bloody, if it's large. All those things we can be able to get from just that examination. So it's equally important. So we usually advise men from the age of 45 and above to at least do that exam at least once every year or every 2 years. Better safe than sorry, because like every other cancer, the earlier you catch it, the earlier your chances of survival or beating it. So most times when you begin to show symptoms, it's almost always too late most times. So that's why we just advise men that an annually examination would do a lot of good. So that's for age actually increases. An increase in age actually increases the chances of getting prostate cancer. Yes. And then another risk factor is race. When I was in medical school, when studying normal diseases and stuff, and then I used to get pissed when almost all the diseases are actually more common in black people. It's actually kind of annoying. They keep saying that black race is a risk factor. It's actually kind of annoying. So it is the same in this case. Black race, black men are more likely to get prostate cancer than Caucasians.
Yeah, I saw that. Actually, one time I was reading about high blood pressure and
high blood pressure too.
The black race at the higher
diabetes.
Risk.
Almost for, all the common diseases. Sickle cell, same thing. Malaria, the same thing. It's crazy. So, same with prostate cancer. And then another risk factor is family history. Having a direct
descendant.
Yes, a direct family history of prostate cancer puts you at risk, at higher risk to get prostate cancer. And also, people don't really know this, but it's been proven that having the breast cancer gene in your family can expose men to prostate cancer. Now, if you have, people don't know that, but it's almost this. If you have someone, maybe a mother, a sister, or a grandmother, an auntie, direct relative that has had breast cancer, that's the BRCA1 gene or BRCA2 gene, one of them. If one of them has had breast cancer, there's also a possibility, or it also puts you at higher risk of getting prostate cancer as a man. You might not have the breast cancer. Meanwhile, men have breast cancer actually, Sha, but you might not have the breast cancer, but
it's because you have
you have prostate cancer and
breast cancer.
You just had to drag us into this.
It's your punishment.
But that's it, Sha. That's it. So it's increasing the chances. Another risk factor is obesity. Obesity increases the chances of almost every disease happening, almost every kind of cancer. So one major need why we need to watch our weight, keep fit and stuff. So obesity actually also increases the chances of having advanced breast cancer. So that's majorly the cause, stroke, obese factors of prostate cancer. Yes, basically.
Okay, before this type of cancer is detected, are there warning signs that should make a man worried? You know how women, when it comes to breast cancer, you have like this self-examination you can do at home to feel for lumps. Are there warning signs that men can see before to alarm them, or to make them feel like, oh, something is wrong, I need to go to the hospital?
Yes, there are, basically. But I won't put it as warning signs, because usually when the symptoms or those signs in quotes start coming up, it means that there's already a progressive disease in progress. You get now it should have been easier if, like, for testicular cancer, the way we tell women to self-examinate their breast. Women don't have testes, don't mind me. Their breast and stuff. So that's the same way we tell men to occasionally self-examine their testes. But in prostate cancer, because of the location, you can't self-examine it. The only way you can examine it is going to a doctor, and then it's a very uncomfortable examination. But in as much as there's that, you can also watch out for some symptoms, especially urinary symptoms. Especially now, when I say urinary,
I'll get to that part.
Oh, you will get to that part. Okay, when I say urinary symptoms,
of prostate cancer.
Yes, I mean like urgency. Maybe you are pressed, and then you can't hold it anymore, and then the urine comes out. Like, maybe the moment you get pressed, before you rush to the toilet, you had already peed on your body or peed a little on your body. Then something like poor stream, maybe when you're peeing, it's coming out small, but you're really pressed, but it's then coming out a little. Or something, maybe when you're peeing and then it's dribbling, it's coming out in multiple places, or then it's dangling on its own. It's supposed to be one stream. Stop laughing. You're supposed to.
I'm not laughing at men.
It's not today you've been laughing at men. It's not today. You've been laughing at men. You just called us come 5 minutes ago. You've been laughing at men.
Oh my God.
Anyway, so the dribbling, maybe it's not coming out in one stream, it's dangling and stuff. Remember I told you the location of the is what causes this. Now, in my, you know, I told you the prostate is sitting just underneath the bladder and in and the urethra comes in between it. And I told you the urethra is like a tube structure. Now, imagine the prostate getting big, and there's a tube in between it. It will start compressing that tube. Do you get? The bigger it gets, the more you start compressing that tube. And then when it compresses the tube, the urine won't be coming out as much. Because the urine that passes that tube, the urine won't be coming out as much. So that's why you begin to see all these symptoms. Or hesitancy. Maybe you're really pressed, and then you get to the toilet, and then you're straining, and nothing is coming out. And then you can stay there for 5 minutes before you're able to bring out little. Standing in the toilet. Or incompetence. Or frequency. You get really pressed. You want to go to the toilet. You rush to the toilet. And then only few come out. You say, you go back. And after 5 minutes again, you're rushing back. Only few come out. Do you get? So those are like urinary symptoms that occurs. It's usually a tell sign. Now, I want to make something clear. When a man begins to see those things, it doesn't mean you have prostate cancer. Now, when the prostate begins to enlarge, it's not every time that it is prostate cancer. It can be what we cause what we call benign prostatic hyperplasia. That's BPH or prostate cancer. Now, BPH, like the name benign, means that it is not causing any trouble. It's just swelling. Prostate cancer means it is cancer, it is causing trouble, and it can spread like every other cancer. You get? So there's a difference. So when a man, usually it's very difficult to see a man at 60 years of age that doesn't have these urinary symptoms. 60-70, very difficult. It's just the severity that matters. Now, when those, because that BPH is almost always normal in men of advanced ages. Almost always normal.
Okay.
So when the symptoms now become severe, we now advise the person, okay, go to the hospital. When you get to the hospital, the doctor does that examination, checks it, see everything. Now, we now choose that. We now, after the examination, now determines that, okay, the prostate is enlarged quite all right. That is why you're having these urinary symptoms. So what do we do next? Determine whether it is cancerous or not. So the way we determine, we do two major tests. We do a PSA, prostate specific antigen. That one will give us an indication that it is cancerous or not. Or we just do, we do a biopsy. We take a sample of the prostate with a very long needle. It's a very painful procedure. We take a sample of the prostate and then we take it for histopathology examination, and that will tell us whether it is cancerous or not. If it's not cancerous, we can manage with, if it's not cancerous, meaning if it's that benign hypoplastic, benign prostatic hyperplasia, meaning that we can manage with drugs. If drugs are not working, then worst case scenario is that we go in and we remove the prostate. If it's cancerous, so go to surgery and remove the prostate. If it's cancerous, because usually men at 60, 70 years old, they don't need to be fertile anymore now, definitely. So we can remove it.
Speak for yourself.
Oh well.
We had the glucose gardens everywhere.
Actually,
Abuja. You are in Abuja. You should speak for yourself. You are in Abuja.
It's true. Safe if I speak for myself. Then if it's prostate cancer, I'll get to what we usually do to manage that. So one of the major symptoms, one of the major tell signs to see, to look out for, it's the urinary symptoms as I've described. Then blood in urine is also a tell sign. You get your blood in urine or blood in your semen. Getting blood in urine or blood in your semen is a very tell sign. It's an indication of prostatic cancer, of prostate cancer. Getting pain around your pelvic area, that's lower abdominal pain, is usually common for women, but having it in men, continuous lower abdominal pain is a tell sign. Then maybe like bone pain usually would result when it has metastasized. What I mean by it has metastasized is when the cancer has begun to spread, because one of the commonest places prostate cancer spreads to is the bone and then the lymph nodes. So you begin to have prostate cancer, bone pain. Then also erectile dysfunction, poor erection and all those things, they're also functions. They're also symptoms of prostate cancer. So that's basically the tell signs. But like I said, sometimes when you begin to see these signs, it's sometimes, unluckily, it might be too late to have an effective treatment. Because that's why we usually advise that you just check randomly. Catch it early and increases the chances of survival.
So how many stages are there for prostate cancer? Do we have stages? The way breast cancer has
it does.
All of that type of cancer.
It does. Like, there are stages. There are definitely about 4 stages. But I don't know if I tell you guys, I don't know if it to be needed. That's usually the stage in all medical practitioners use to describe how advanced the disease is, but I don't think you guys might need it, right? Or do you just want to know for knowing's sake?
We want to know. We want to know. I speak for my audience when I say we want to know. How many stages are there?
Okay, there are 4 stages. All right. How will I say this that you guys will understand?
Please bring it down, layman terms.
Okay. There are 4 stages. Stage 1 is usually divided into 3. Stage 2 is 2A, 2B, 2C.
Okay.
Then stage 3A, 3B, 3C. Then stage 4, A and B, like that. I think let me just gather it up. Stage 1 is when the tumor, that's the cancer, can be felt on rectal examination. All right.
Okay.
Can probably also be seen on ultrasound, and then but is confined to the prostate. There's no metastasis, there's no spread yet, there's no bone metastasis, there's no lymph node metastasis, and also the PSA level. You know that test I told you you're going to do, prostate specific antigen, when it's less than, I think 10. When it's less than 10, means that it's still in the early stages. So you catch it, the major tell sign of this stage is when you feel it in from the rectum on the rectal exam, on rectal examination, when you feel it in the rectal examination, but it's still limited to the prostate. Stage 2, when I think it's when the tumor can be felt on rectal examination, can be seen on imaging, that's on ultrasound, and also the PSA level is between like 10 to 20. Do you get when the PSA level is beginning at 10 to 20? And in stage 2 also, the cancer has not begin to spread. All right.
Okay.
The cancer has not begin to spread. It's also confined to the prostate. The prostate. Now in stage 3, there's significant, you will feel the tumor significantly on rectal exam. The PSA level is greater than 20. And then in stage 3C, I think by stage 3C, I think it's, you already begin to feel it in nearby tissues, sometimes on the surface of the rectum, or probably you already, that means it has already left the confine of the rectum, of the prostate, sorry. By stage 4, you will see it in lymph nodes, you'll probably see it in bone, you'll probably see it in the lungs. It has metastasized by stage 4, and then the PSA level shooting very high. By that stage you already have the full blown sign of the whole cancer, the weakness, the loss of weight, the everything is just full there. The abdominal pain is severe. Yes. And even the urinary symptoms, by that time maybe you have complete blockage, complete bladder outlet obstruction, meaning that all those small signs you are seeing from urine, the hesitancy and everything, meaning that the tumor has enlarged so well it has occluded the urethra, so the urine is not even coming out again. Mm-hmm. Do you get? At that point, maybe we might need to just do a supraaortic aspiration where we connect a tube to the bladder through the abdomen so that the urine will be coming out. It's crazy.
It's really crazy.
So that's basically what the staging looks like. It's not in depth, but at least so that you guys will have an idea like that.
All right. Thanks.
You're welcome.
The moment prostate cancer is in a man's body, cancer is around the prostate.
Yeah.
As for the stage one, the moment it's found, how quickly does it spread? Is there a timeline?
No, there's no timeline. There's absolutely no time. Everybody that tells you a timeline is probably lying. There's absolutely no timeline because there are different ways, different reaction to how a person reacts to disease. There are different ways in which your immune system reacts to sickness and disease. That is the same reason why some people will have coronavirus and be asymptomatic. Some people have coronavirus and have only catarrh-like symptoms. Some people have coronavirus and just have one day of fever and they'll be well the next day. Why some people will have difficulty in breathing, they will need ventilator, they will put them in ICU and they will now die. So it's just everybody has a different ways of saying of how they react to those kind of things. So there's no basic timeline. There's no even range you can put in that, okay, you are in stage one, but in so time you will get to stage four. Do you understand? There's no real range. Mm. What we just do is that we just monitor the advancement of the disease. Monitoring the advancement of the disease will give us a time frame. Like we know that it takes so time to move from stage one to two. It takes so time to move from stage two to three. We can know when you could move to stage four. Do you get? So it's subjective. Yeah. It's subjective. Bottom line, it's subjective.
Okay. Yes. Right, so how can this be treated, prostate cancer?
Okay, so basically there are three basic ways, which are the normal ways to manage cancers. One, surgery. Two, radiation. Three, chemotherapy, basically.
Okay.
So usually people start with non-invasive techniques, especially radiation. Can be internal radiation, bradytherapy, or external radiation, where they expose the prostate, they expose those cancer cells to radiation, in which they hope that it kills those cancer cells. Chemotherapy to the same thing, you expose your cells to chemo, of which it kills both your normal cells and then the cancerous cells. That's why people look sicker when they expose themselves to chemo, because it doesn't select the cancer cells and kills them alone. It kills both your normal cells and the abnormal cells. So in much more advanced cases, maybe from like stage 3, stage 4, you just attempt to take out the prostate immediately. Sometimes in some people, they just recommend taking out the prostate immediately. So you go in for a surgical prostatectomy, usually radical prostatectomy, that's what they call it, the complete removal of the prostate. Hopefully they can remove it early enough before it spreads, before the spreading has started. Because if the spreading has started without even knowing, after they've removed it, as far as that spreading has started, if whether you remove it or not, it's not going to make a difference. Do you get?
Mm-hmm.
Assuming the cancer has started spreading to nearby tissues, or assuming it has spread to the bone, by the time you remove the prostate, the origin of the cancer, it doesn't stop the spread. So that's another reason why you have to detect it very early. If you detect it very early before the spreading has started, before the metastasis has started, you can remove it and then stop the course of the cancer. But because sometimes you don't really know if the spreading has started by the time you are removing the prostate. So maybe after you remove the prostate, thinking you're very okay, then after 1 year, you then come down on bone pain. Do you get? So that's the reason early detection. Yes, early detection. So those are the basic three ways we do it. But there are other ways that we say you can prevent here and there, little ways. Sorry? Hello, sir.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. So, majorly, like, choosing... Sorry? Hello?
This has been really eye-opening.
Okay, it is. It is. So, major ways you can prevent, basically, choosing a healthy diet with fruits, vegetables, basically. Reducing fat diets, taking a lot of diets rich in vitamin E, like those fruits and vegetables. Fatty diets, especially reducing fatty diets, goes a long way. There are studies that have been shown that fatty diets have been associated with prostate cancer. So, cutting down a lot of fatty diets. Also, exercising most days of the week also helps a lot. Maintaining a healthy weight, like I said, obesity is a risk factor, so maintaining a healthy weight will actually go a long way in prevention. Then also going in for regular check if you are above 45 years. If you are above 45 years, the way they tell women when you are above 40 years, always check for 35, 40 years. Always check for cervical cancer. Okay. Yeah, cervical cancer is a very common cancer to women. Breast cancer itself, we know that it affects people way younger. So at no time a woman should be checking, even from 18, a woman should be checking her breast, self-examining. But cervical cancer, checking for pap smear and the pap smear and all those things, usually we advise women, even if it's very encourageable, a woman less than 35 should be doing it. But from 35 years, we advise women to check, to do a pap smear every year. Every year from 35 years. Same thing with men. If you're over 45, you should always do a prostate check every year or once every 2 years at most. Once every 2 years. The earlier you pick it, the
okay.
Yes.
Well, to all my male listeners, men have friends, they have brothers, they have uncles, they have fathers, they have boyfriends, they have husbands. We all have men in our lives, so please talk to the men in your life to go for regular checkup for prostate cancer, for high blood pressure, for
everything.
A whole diabetes, a whole lot of
everything. Everything.
Exactly. So please do, and Dr. Shola, it's been amazing.
Thank you.
As usual.
Thank you so much.
It's been really wonderful having you here. So guys, this episode is part of our men's health series for the month of June. And after this, we're going to be discussing infertility in men. So stay tuned for that episode. It's going to be published after this one. So again.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Until next time, till next time. Bye. Bye.